We're going to stay in Russia now, but in a part that hasn't been in the headlines lately. 2013, though, was a big year for Siberia, at least here in America. Here's writer Alina Simone.
First, there was the Chelyabinsk meteor, which rained down on our screens courtesy of the Russian fetish for dashboard cams. Then there was the summer debut of NBC's Siberia, a thriller about a reality show set in the remote territory of the Tunguska River. The 16 contestants quickly found themselves at the mercy of the elements, stalked by paranormal forces. Cue the shaky cam.
What is that?
The show plays off Siberia's entrenched history as a spooky place where bad things happen to good people. It continues to have something of a PR problem. For 6 years, I worked on and off in Siberia, and I could never just tell my American friends where I was going without hearing 5 minutes of jokes about ice and gulags. My friend Sarah Lindemann Komarova moved to Novosibirsk from New York in 1991 for a four-month teaching job and ended up going native. Now, when people in the U.S. meet her for the first time, they often think she's using the word Siberia as a metaphor.
I said, I live in Siberia. And he said, you mean really? Because he thought I meant Iowa or something. He assumed that I was referring to the Midwest.
Novosibirsk is Russia's third largest city, and it's a cosmopolitan place. The airport there had great coffee before most of Russia. And last month, the mayor approved the first plaque to honor a female Russian punk singer in the country. Not a member of Pussy Riot, but Yanka Diaghileva, a cult hero who died in 1991.
I mean, it was sort of amazing when I started to really think about the things that people don't know, what happened in Siberia. They think it's prisons and bears, but the first particle accelerator was here. Perestroika was born here. The environmental movement, modern environmental, started here. Not only did it start here, but this was where there was success.
Sarah's talking about Russia's environmental movement. So why has Siberia become an incubator for so much innovation?
I think partially because the people here are used to coping with a lot of things and facing constraints that force you to be creative and think of new things. You're more on the edge. And that's what makes it exciting and an interesting place to be, because it's a more honest place, I think.
And as for the weather, here's a bombshell. Siberia isn't really that cold, at least in the south, where 90% of Siberians live. The average annual temperature in Novosibirsk is only a few degrees colder than parts of Maine, Minnesota, and Colorado. And a lot of people who live there consider the environment a big plus.
That's what I think what makes Siberia really special is that connection to nature. That isn't all about because it's freezing all the time, because it isn't. Where I live, it's pretty cold, like a few days a year where it is miserably cold. But the rest of it is like living in this fairy tale land.
The conversations I had with friends before leaving for Siberia always ended in giant air quotes. Have fun in Siberia, they'd say. And I wanted to tell them I will. I've seen amazing things there, from mummified Buddhist llamas to Chippendale-style strip shows. Once, while staying at a hotel in Akademgorodok, I was awoken by the sound of pounding techno to discover the snowy parking lot full of dancers throwing flaming batons up in the air. The weird flotsam of pop culture is ever-present, even in Siberia, where the encroachment of IKEA, Miley Cyrus, and bad American pizza is a much bigger threat than bears, meteors, even paranormal stalkers. For The World, this is Alina Simone in New York.